This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
All right. We are at the big day, the sentencing day of Brian Koberger. What happens when the guy who allegedly plotted, stalked, and slaughtered four college kids in the dead of night suddenly decides, yeah, I did it? Well, no trial. No dramatic cross-examinations, no new TikTok theories to spin out courtroom body language. Just a cold clinical plea of guilty, followed by the legal equivalent of roll credits. Here we are on a sentencing day for Brian Koberger, the finale we didn't expect, but the one we've been handed. No season two, no cliffhanger, just one man's final act before he disappears into a prison cell for the rest of his natural life. Allegedly a mastermind, now legally just a lifer. And the big question as we go into this courtroom showdown today, will he say anything at all, or will he keep riding the silent smug wave that's defined his every move since the day he was arrested? We're going to take a full preview of what's going down today in Boise, Idaho, talking timeline, procedures, family impact statements, possible bombshells, and yes, whether Koberger might actually speak. Spoiler, don't hold your breath. And we'll start there. Do you think he's going to do it? Do you think we're going to hear Koberger speaking aloud today in any way, shape, or form?
You know, I'm torn because this is a guy who wants the spotlight. This is a guy who wants people talking about him. He may go for it or he may not say a word. I don't think there's going to be just a happy medium. I think this is a guy who is either going to seize the moment or just absolutely shut down.
I wonder if we're going to get like a garbled bumble F of this, you know, where it's like... All I'm thinking of is the way he stood up the other day in court. And he was just so awkward about even just like standing up.
Yeah.
He was like standing there at attention almost. And if he thought that it seemed like there was some enjoyment going on there too. This is kind of what it felt like he was having a proud moment. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm wondering about is, are we going to get that where he's, in his mind, he thinks he's going to, you know, he's the good one at this. He's going to nail this. And just as he's always not nailed everything in his life, it'll be some just bumbling, you know, kind of rant, kind of not, kind of, I don't know, or even a weird half-assed apology. I don't know. I don't know what to expect here. I don't know that he's going to remain completely silent, though. I don't know that I'm on the train that's saying that.
Yeah. It's such a crapshoot right now because he's just been such a mysterious figure that it's a tough read. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I wonder if he even knows what he's going to do. It may be a spur of the moment thing where he just decides at the last second, this is how he's going to do it.
Is he going to have Ann Taylor read a statement from him? That would be a really interesting control move because it means he's controlling someone else to express him. I don't know. There's a lot that could be going on. It starts 9 a.m. local time in Ada County in Boise, Idaho, not Moscow. So that's 11 a.m. Central, correct? We're going to be live with it here on the channel. So on YouTube, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, live coverage of the sentencing. We'll have it for you. And all of those victim impact statements. My calendar. Where is it? Yep, we're looking at 11 a.m. Central. That would be 12 Eastern. There you go.
Of course, they didn't check with me. I have a doctor's appointment then. Well, how rude.
Thank you, Stephanie Tanner.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
Those of you, you can look that reference up.
Maybe I'll see if Robin can join me on this. We've been, we just did an interview with Howard Bloom, and that's playing all this week. So you can see all of that. It's a new interview. It's not the one we did the other week. This is a new one, talking about some of the new stuff that's come out. So anyway, coverage starting here. We're going to start at about 10:45 Central Time, about 15 minutes before we're supposed to be getting into court. Who knows how that always works out with court, because sometimes it can go really, really late. And this is a big high profile case. And, you know, that could delay things a bit, getting all the people in there that need to be in there and such. So that's coming up today on the schedule here on the Hidden Killers YouTube channel, if that's where you're watching us. Or if you're listening, that's where you can find it live. We'll also, of course, throw the stream back out there so you can listen to it on the podcast channel once it's done. So Ada County Courthouse is where it's at. In Boise, not Moscow, a shift in scenery. Of course, that's all thanks to earlier on, the venue change granted last fall. Remember, he's not going to get a fair trial out here, and oh, he did it. So that's another check the box of Koberger controlling everyone. Prosecutors argued they needed a fair trial away from a college town shaken to its core, but now there's no trial. Actually, it was defense that argued it. Koberger took a hard left turn out of the courtroom and straight into that guilty plea just weeks ago. So what's actually happening at sentencing? Well, a lot. Emotionally, it's a reckoning. Prosecutorially, it's pretty locked in. Koberger pled guilty to four counts of first-degree murder, and one count of burglary. In exchange, the state dropped the death penalty. So Judge Stephen Hippler is expected to hand down four consecutive life sentences. No parole, no appeals, no second act. What's not guaranteed is what happens in between the gavel, bangs. This is the moment for the families to speak. And maybe, just maybe, for Koberger to open his mouth too, for the first time, and maybe the last as well. It's going to be interesting. If we're going to get,
do you think Dateline's going to get an interview with him, or 2020, or any of these shows?
No,
going to have a moment with him where they're going to actually point blank ask him, "What were you thinking?"
I think you're going to get Ramsland in there. She's going to write a book, because he's not. He's not one that's going to look at Dateline and go, this is really going to tell my story. He's going to want a book. So he's going to get someone like Catherine Ramsland in there, or as Howard Bloom offered up today on our show, literally directly to Koberger, in saying, I would be very interested in talking with you. And telling your story, essentially. Those weren't his words, but he said it on our show to Koberger. So
you think that's going to get back to him somehow?
Yeah, I do. There's not like he has a shortage of people that want to talk to him, from the true crime community or investigative community or psychological community. He's going to have people knocking on his door for a long time to talk. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to be, I mean, I think eventually you'll get a Dateline or something in there, but I think your first thing you're going to get is somebody that he trusts to write a book about him. So someone like Howard, someone like Catherine, I don't know. That's how I think it's going to go down.
Wow.
I'd be curious. I think we'll throw something into the hat and say, hey, let's talk. I don't know. It's I don't know what to expect there. Or is he just going to shut up and keep it all to himself? He seems to always want to be the smartest in the room, so that's why I think you're going to have more of a talker here than a although here's the thing. And I talked with Howard about this too today. He seems like this kind of cornucopia of all these different parts of other personas of other people, of other killers. It's like there's a little bit of BTK. You got a little and fictional characters too. You got a little Norman Bates here. You got a little and I think he's been taunting that the whole damn time from that shower picture. That he's but all at the same time, he doesn't know who he is. And you can't be a little bit of everybody and be somebody.
But he's crafted this almost out of like Sculpey clay, a piece from here, a piece from here. And he's turned this, I guess, a piece of a work of art into what he wanted it to be. And really, by accepting the plea deal, he kind of took the narrative and ran with it, because people like us were sitting out here anticipating the trial. We thought we knew what the narrative was going to be, and he came and snatched it right out from underneath us.
Well, and the other part of it too is there's a lot of killers where, look, the act, the trial, that's just part one. I mean, how much, I mean, it has been written and looked at with so many other characters, you know, once they're incarcerated, BTK, I mean, that narrative continues to go on. And so that's what I'm wondering. I mean, he knows about all these characters. Which ones is he going to start trying to emulate? Is he going to start being a Dennis Rader? Is he going to start, you know, having regular conversations with certain people in the media, in being pen pals like Rader does to this day? I know somebody in media who is pen pals with BTK. And there are certain elements and weird things in those conversations with that person that I know where it's like, I think BTK kind of guys got you fooled a little bit here on some things.
These are master manipulators. These are people that if they'd use their powers for good, could have done amazing things because they have such charisma. They could have ended up as president.
Well, and the person I know is a reporter that's been covering BTK since it all started, since it was going on. He was on the air in Wichita through all of that and remains in communication to this day. And it's weird. Like there was something he said not long ago where it was, something like just like not question, like if Dennis says that to me, you know, I believe it. He wouldn't lie to me. It was something of that, and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm not going to say who it is, and I'm not going to, but it was something. It's like the fact that you would, if he said that to you, you think he wouldn't be lying. Dennis Rader.
But look at who he's talking about.
I know, but it's like, but look at it's a relationship that's been going on now for decades.
But how do you trust a relationship with somebody who is capable of such atrocities?
Well, exactly. And I'm sure it did not start out this way. But but it's, you know, all these years in, it's like there's, you know, guards go down, you know, in on both levels, really, you know, for enabling the two-way conversation to take place that has with them. But, these are all the things that you think about with the future of Koberger. Is he going to be that guy? Is he going to be an Ed Kemper? Is he going to be, you know, who's he going to be? Or is he finally going to figure out who the hell he is?
Does he get therapy in prison? Does he get sessions where he does get to figure out what his deficits are? Does he become reformed? Does he turn to religion? What happens to him? What's his journey like?
Does he finally become the rapper that he always wanted to be and becomes the very first artist on Diddy's new label?
Oh my God. Can you freaking imagine?
Stranger things have happened.
True story.
Stranger things have happened. Anything's possible. Well, let's walk through the sequence of events here. First up, victim impact statements. The families of Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zena Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, the four students that Koberger admitted murdering to in his very chilling, bizarre way, will get their moment. Some will stand face to face with the mutant. I don't like to use the word man when discussing when describing folks like this who tore their lives apart. Some, like Ethan's family, reportedly won't even show up because grief doesn't have one mode. It has a thousand: anger, exhaustion, numbness, and they're all valid. And everybody's going through them at different stages in different places. Expect raw emotional testimony. Expect heartbreak. Expect fury. This is the legal funeral, the final public opportunity for these families to scream into the void that Koberger created. And he'll have to sit there and listen, or at least pretend to. After that, Koberger will be asked if he wants to say anything. The court gives every convicted felon a chance to speak before sentencing. He doesn't have to. No one can make him. Even Donald Trump, who's now tweeted about the judge making Koberger say something.
Shut up. I missed that. How did I miss that? Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes.
I may need some alcohol.
I'll read it for you here in case anyone else has missed this piece of today.
So this came out on Tuesday?
Tuesday or late Monday, I don't remember.
I've had a few things going on in my world, so I haven't really been abreast of...
Yeah, here it is. Brian Cope, this... it was yesterday. Yesterday at around noon. This is Trump on, I think, Truth Social. Quote, Brian Koberger, who was responsible in Idaho for the deaths of four wonderful young souls, has made a plea bargain deal in order to avoid the death penalty. These were vicious murders with so many questions left unanswered. While life imprisonment is tough, it's certainly better than receiving the death penalty. But before sentencing, I hope the judge makes Koberger, at a minimum, explain why he did these horrible murders. There are no explanations. There's no nothing. People were shocked that he was able to plea bargain, but the judge should make him explain what happened. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
No, he didn't end it with that. Please tell me he didn't end it with
that's
that.
That's what he ends everything with right now.
I know, but I was hoping this would be different.
No, it's not. So, yeah.
He wouldn't pardon him, would he?
No.
He couldn't.
No.
Okay. I had to throw it out there because somebody listening just went, would he pardon him? But he can't. He can't.
Well, I mean, he could, but he's not going to. He clearly doesn't think this is a good human being. And even Howard Bloom said today on the show, this is the one thing I've agreed with Trump on in however many years. So I'd have to say the same. But again, this is not how our justice system works either. The president can't say this judge needs to make him say something. He doesn't have to say anything.
He's not a puppet. You can't stick a hand up his ass and make his mouth and lips move. You can't. That's not how life works.
Elocution is not required.
Correct.
It's required to be offered, but it's not required to be taken up.
He has the right to remain silent.
So, I don't know. No one can make him. Based on his track record of bizarre courtroom vibes and complete emotional detachment, odds are decent that he stays mute. But if he does speak, buckle up, because any words from Koberger will be dissected, debated, and weaponized in court and the court of public opinion for years. The apology, if there is one, the rationale, if he offers it, the tone, the eye contact, the pauses, all of it. Then Judge Hippler wraps it all up. Four life sentences, one for each life taken, plus 10 more years for burglary. Because let's not forget, he allegedly broke into their home with the intent to kill. Then it's off to prison. No parole, no Netflix docuseries, star turn, just decades in a cell with his textbooks, and if he's lucky, no cellmate who's a true crime fan.
Can you imagine being his cellmate? I mean, I used to dread like the first day of college, finding out who your roommate was going to be. That I was from Minneapolis, a very big, big city. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with a roommate that was from a very small town. And it was just absolute culture shock. Can you imagine, like, you've been in there for a year and all of a sudden you hear you're getting Brian Koberger as your freaking roommate or cellmate, not roommate. Can you imagine? He's going to be on his own.
He will be for a while.
Till they figure out what he's up to, you know.
I mean, for the safety, he will be likely alone for a while.
How long? Somebody's going to try to take him out?
What's that?
Think someone's going to try to take him out?
Without a doubt. He's going to be high dollar material.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like Dahmer level.
Yes, he is. He's almost worse.
Dahmer did not last that long in prison. Dahmer was an interesting character where he actually did come out and do, you know, he spoke about his crimes in a very matter-of-fact way, but also in a way that seemed to have emotion in some way, shape, or form. That was such a bizarre, anyway, that's another, is he going to do a Dahmer? All these questions. The big mystery, the one that's lingered from the night of the murders, is the why. Koberger has never publicly given one. And the plea deal didn't require him to. There's no explain your actions clause, no built-in truth serum. Just admit you did it, and we'll spare your life. Some families were furious. Kaylee Gonsalves' parents openly blasted the plea, rightfully so, saying they were robbed of real justice. Others, like Madison Mogan's family, said they accepted it because it spared them the pain of a trial and years of appeals. So, in court, now might be the last shot at answers. If Koberger talks, if he shares anything about motive, remorse, or the twisted roadmap that allegedly led him from criminology class to mass murder, but legal experts aren't betting on it. One said there's less than a 50% chance he speaks, and 0% of that brings comfort. Then there's the weirdly pristine crime scene. Four murders, blood everywhere, and yet allegedly not a drop outside of the house, in his car, or in his apartment. The only thing left behind, the K-Bar knife sheath with Koberger's DNA on it. It's like dropping your driver's license at the scene and saying, catch me if you can. Some say it was a slip. Others say it was subconscious sabotage. Others still whisper about trophies, IDs taken, photos snapped. Nothing confirmed yet. And we actually talked with Howard about the IDs taken and some of those other things in the interviews this week. So please, if you're not hit subscribe yet, hit subscribe so you don't miss out on those conversations. It's going to be very interesting here as to what comes out. What do you think? We're going to see from the families.
I can't imagine. This is the biggest moment they have since they learned of their loved one's passing. Mm-hmm. This is a chance to confront, and I'm hoping that we don't see an outburst of violence. Not that it's not warranted, but to not jump across the table and go after him. You know, they've seen him before. They've been in the same room with him before, but this is different. This is going to be their final moment with him. And I think the rage and pain is going to be tangible. Mm-hmm. I think people watching this, we are going to feel it. We're going to feel it through our screens.
Yeah.
The torment, the pain, because this is the final, this is it. This is the curtain call here.
That's almost exactly what Michael Jackson said when he announced the This Is It tour. Not everything before that, but the, this is it. This is the final curtain call. Yeah.
But it is. It truly is.
Sorry, and my Asperger's kicked in for a second and had a
That's okay. We love that about you, and it's all good. But I if somebody in that courtroom is thinking of doing anything, this is the moment that they would do it. And I'm not saying that they will, and I'm also not saying that they aren't warranted. My God,
I'm not saying I won't blame them.
Right, right. Yeah. It's not right, but I understand it.
It's not right.
I feel a lot of rage myself lately.
It's not right, but it's okay.
Yeah, you know, being in the same room. Yeah, being in the same room with somebody that did you wrong, whatever the wrong is, there is just this sense of, I want you to feel the pain that I'm feeling. He gets to walk off to a cell where he gets a place to sleep. He gets a roof over his head. He gets three meals, maybe even four, who knows, maybe a snack.
Yeah.
And their loved ones are gone. And just, I don't know what goes on in your mind where you can contain it. That's going to take some strong people. And I just, I'm curious from a human standpoint of watching how they manage the rage bubbling up. Because again, turning it to my own situation, if I were in the same room with somebody who just recently like stabbed me in the heart, mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do. I'd like to say that I would be sane, but I'm not sure I could be.
Yeah.
It's probably a good thing to just not be in the same room. So it's going to be a challenge for these people. I get it.
Let's hope that clip is never used on Dateline.
It probably will be, but you know what? Find me a woman who wouldn't understand what I'm talking about.
No, I know it. No, I hear you. I hear you.
I'm not going to do anything, but I understand the rage and the anger. And that's why I go to kickboxing classes and beat the living shit out of a punching bag. Because you have to have a place to channel it.
Yeah. I got the Whitney song stuck in my head now. It's not right, but it's okay. I'm taking out Cole Burger today. It's not right. I would be singing that if I was in that those shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make light of it, but
I hope for peace for these families. I know they've probably been getting help, but this is a very big moment coming for them. To face him and have to actually have an opportunity to speak directly to him. They have not had this opportunity. It could be everything or it could just be nothing.
I hope that the families get what they can out of this. I mean, it's weird to say, like, get what they need out of it. I don't want to say get closure out of it, because you're never going to get it. I'm not going to BS like, oh, I hope you get that close. Like, because anytime you hear people say that shit to you, it's like, shut up. You know, I mean, that's how I feel. Like, I get people are well meaning, but in that moment, it's like, I don't even know what that means. I hope they're able to get and walk away from this day feeling that this day ended how they wanted it to.
Yeah.
You know, not that it's obviously not going to bring anybody back, but that they can walk away from this sentencing and have said what they want to say the way they want to say it. And that they can feel that they've done what they've been able to do and maybe turn a page. That's I hope for that. Yeah. I mean, that's all you can hope for in all of this. So let us know what you guys think in the comments section on YouTube. We, of course, greatly appreciate that. And I've heard like people have said, like, you don't, I do read them. I don't get a chance. Even Siobhan was responding to people the other day.
Because
somebody said, like, I don't respond to people. And you're right. I try to. I got to get better at it. But I do read them. Sometimes it's nearly impossible because it's, like, literally a couple comments every minute. So, you know, I do try to look. And you do see me comment every now and then. But do please put your comments down there. And it's just great. Everybody can interact down there. So do that. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever, hit subscribe there. And
If you want to get access to everything we do in advance and get ad-free, there's a premium channel for you on Apple Podcasts, and there's also one on YouTube as well, so you can check that out. All right, for Stacey, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.